How to say God's name when it appears in the Siddur. The pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell him with what name is he redeeming the Jewish people. What name should he give to the Jewish people? And God tells him first, Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh, which we will discuss what that means. And then he says, tell them Hashem, Yudkei Vovkei, Elokei Avoseichem, the God of their fathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, appeared to you, Zeh Shmi Le'olam. This is my name, Le'olam, spelled without a yud, an avav. Le'olam without a vav, which can be read Le'alein, to hide, to suppress. This is the name that you will hide, the Zeh Zichri L'dor V'dor, but there is another name that you will use to instead. From here the rabbis learn that we don't say the name Yudkei Vavkei. That name, right, the Yudkei Vavkei, you're not allowed to say, and in its place, whenever it says Yudkei Vavkei, in the Torah, in the Siddur, whatever, we read instead Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Ado. Okay. Now, the Gemara in Pesachim says that we learn this from another sentence also. It says, V'hoya Hashem kol ha'aretz, v'yom ha'hu yiyyeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. On that day, God will be one and His name one. So only what's relevant to us right now, the Gemara asks, and now God's name isn't one? Only then will His name be one? What about now? So the Gemara says, Lo ka'olam hazeh ha'olam haba. This world is not like the next world. In this world, Lo kemo shani nichtov ani nikra. In this world, I'm not read like I'm written. I'm written Yudkei Vavkei, and I'm read Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. But in the next world, you will read my name and write it the same way, Yudkei Vavkei. Then we will pronounce the Yudkei Vavkei. According to Tostas and other Rishonim, this idea of not reading God's name as it's written is what the Mishnah refers to in Sanhedrin as Hoge Hashem Be'osiyosav, of saying God's name with its letters, meaning reading it the way that it is written, and if you do that according to Avishol, you don't have a share in the world to come. It's one of the things that if a person dies without doing tshuva for this sin, that is something that takes away his share in the world to come. And the Yad Ramah says that even according to the first opinion in the Mishnah, that doesn't count this as one of the things that you lose your share in the world to come, but it definitely is prohibited. So this is referred to in the Mishnah that it is prohibited to say God's name the way that it's written, and according to one opinion, you lose your share in the world to come. Rashi, however, says that Hoge Hashem Bosiyosav is not reading God's name the way that it's written. It's a different prohibition. It's has to do with the name of God of 42 letters, not the four-letter name. And according to Rashi, there's no connection between Hoge Hashem Bosiyosav and reading God's name as it's written. However, the Rosh and the Tur, Shulchan Aruch, Paskin, this idea, and they say that one who reads God's name as it's written, Ne'gar min ha'olam, it takes a person out of the world. And in addition, you also transgress a positive commandment, some say rabbinically, and some say even from the Torah, of Yiras Hashem. It is a lack of respect for God to read His name the way that He doesn't want it to be read. He wants it to be read differently. If you read it in the way that it's written, which is prohibited, you transgress the prohibition of fear of God, respect for God. Tosfos in Avodah Zarah says that not only aren't you allowed to read the name the way that it's written, Yud Kei Vav Kei, but you can't even say the letters Yud, and then Hey, and then Vav, and then another Hey. You can't say them in succession. Even if you don't read the word, you just say the letters out. And not only that, Tosfos says, even to say the letters Yud and then Hey are prohibited, even though the name Yud and then Hey we do say. Ka. We do read the name Kol. But that is a special sentence that permits that. It says, Kol HaNishama Tahalel Kol. Yud and Hey. Okay, all, and the Gemara in Erevin comments on that, Dai LeKol HaNishama B'Shtei Osios. All people are allowed to say those two letters, even though they are half of the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. But that part of God's name you're allowed to say out, Yud and Hey. We say it all the time. Right, it's the suffix to Hallelujah, right, is that the name of God. That's allowed to be said, but the letters, there is no sentence that tells us we could say those letters, and if you intend to say those letters as the first two letters in God's full name, that is also prohibited. So the minhag, therefore, is to say K instead of Hey. So it's Yud Kei Vav Kei. Or another way of describing that name of God is Shem Havaya, right? Which is also the letters, but in an opposite order. Okay. This only apply outside the Beis Hamikdash. In the Beis Hamikdash, when they said a bracha, they said God's name the way that it's written, Yud Kei Vav Kei. And they used to teach how to say the name properly. Once every 7 years to the students who would have to be able to say it after that. So how exactly it's said, we don't know either. What the vowels are, 100%, we don't know. Okay, and there are many combinations of vowels where there are many meanings to God's name. There are all kinds of combinations of vowels with those letters. Where there are hundreds of different permutations, that's the word I'm looking for, of God's name. Yud Kei Vav Kei. However, what?
Who needed to say the name?
The Kohanim when they gave Birkas Kohanim and the brachos that they made in the Beis Hamikdash.
Not the Israel.
Israelim? No, probably not. Okay, now, the accepted how it is voweled in the Sidurim and the Chumashim is a Shva under the Yud, a Cholam by the Hay, right, and a Kamatz under the Vav. That's the normal way that we see it, and based on that, that is how the name is anglicized when it is transliterated, right, the witnesses. Now, the witnesses substitute a J for a Y, for a Yud, because if you transliterate the English alphabet and you match letter by letter, the Yud is the same number in the alphabet as a J. So that's where this idea of using a J instead of a Yud. Therefore, some hold that since a Yud is not a J, to say that word, right, is okay. Others say that since your intention is to substitute that J for a Yud, that you can't even say that. So you'll notice that I'm not saying that. Just in case. But in any case, you're all familiar with the witnesses, you know what they are called, and you should not say their first name. Okay. But that is how it's transliterated. Most certainly to say it with a Y instead of the J is awesome. And now there's an interesting argument. What exactly that means that when we see the letters Yud Kei Vav Kei, instead of reading it Yud Kei Vav Kei, we read it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. What does that mean? So one opinion says that you have to read the Aleph Dalet Nun Yud as if it would have the same vowels as Yud Kei Vav Kei. In other words, what you're doing here is you're transposing the letters Yud to Aleph, Kei, Hey to Dalet, Vav to Nun, and last Hey to Yud. It's instead of reading those letters as a Yud, you read it as an Aleph. Okay? It's, in other words, when you see those four letters in that name, you quickly transform it into an Aleph instead of a Yud. What's the difference? What would that mean? Therefore, the vowels stay the same. So you wouldn't read, as we read, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, Adon, right? You would read it, Idonai. Because, or Idonai. You would have to read it as if it would be the vowels, Yuvke, Vovke. So the vowels would be a Shva under the Aleph, a Cholam by the Dalet, and a Komatz by the Nun. That's how it would have to be read. And there are therefore opinions of Maram Lublin, and the Mogen Avraham brings it down, that when one reads Aleph Dalet Nun Yud in place of Yud Kei Vav Kei, instead of how he reads it when it's written Aleph Dalet Nun Yud as Ado, he should read it Ido. The what's it called? The Grah holds not like that. The Grah holds that it's like a regular Kriyat Shma. We have many things in the Torah where it's written one way and it's read a different way. And the written way and the way that it's supposed to be read have no connection with each other. You don't read the vowels of the written way in the reading way, and therefore the written way is Yud Kei Vav Kei, and it's supposed to be read Aleph Dalet Nun Yud as Ado, with a Chatah Patach under the Aleph. And that's how we do it. We read Aleph Dalet Nun Yud as Adon, right, all the time. According to the other opinion, you'd only read it Adon if it was written Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. But if we're saying Aleph Dalet Nun Yud in place of Yud Kei Vav Kei, you would read it as Idom and not Adom. Okay. Another argument, which is based on the same question, is this a Kri and Exiv? Right? It's written one way to be read a different way, or is it just a transposition of letters? In this case, the Yud, instead of sounding Yud, sounds Aleph. The hey, instead of sounding hey, sounds dalet. Right? Is that the idea? Would be the following. What do you have to have in mind when you read Shem Hashem Aleph Dalet Nun Yud when it's written Yud Kei Vav Kei? Do you have to have in mind both meanings, the meaning of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which we'll get to in a few minutes, and the meaning of Adon, which means Adon HaKol, God is the master of everything? So when you say that word and you want to think about what it means, do you have to think about the meaning of the written and the verbal, or just what you're verbalizing? The Tur says that you have to have both meanings in mind, because when you read that word, you're really reading two words. You're reading Yud Kei Vav Kei, just you're transposing the letters to Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So you're really reading Yud Kei Vav Kei with just a different pronunciation. The Vilna Gaon again says no. It's reading Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. It's just written Yud Kei Vav Kei, but the reading is totally Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. It has nothing to do with the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the reading. And therefore all you have to have in mind is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And that basically is the halacha when you daven, and you want to have in mind what you're saying. So when you come to whether it's written Yud Kei Vav Kei or it's written Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, in either case you pronounce it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, you have to have in mind when you say that Adon HaKol, that God is the master of everything. That's the meaning of that name. And you don't have in mind Yud Kei Vav Kei, which we'll see in a second what that means. You don't have to have that in mind. The only exception is the first sentence of Kriya Shema. When you say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and there the Hashem is written Yud Kei Vav Kei, you should have in mind when you say those two names, the two Hashems, Hoya, Hove, Yihyeh, God is, was, and always will be, which is the meaning, one of the meanings of Yud Kei Vav Kei, and Adon HaKol, both of them together. That's the only exception. Everywhere else, you only have to have in mind Adon HaKol. Okay, now let's see what these names mean. Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh. What is this name Eheyeh? Okay. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim says Eheyeh means I exist. I am the essence of existence, meaning that God has to exist, because if he wouldn't exist, nothing could exist. God is in the only intrinsic existence that exists. Everything else depends on his existence and doesn't have to exist. But God is the existence that is intrinsic and has to exist. And that's why Eheyeh means Nimtza Asher Nimtza, the existence that always or that exists. showing that it's something intrinsic. The Akedas Yitzchak adds to that, and he says that Ehaya means that God is the only true existence, the only real existence that is, again, intrinsic, and that God exists at all times, and he's dependent on no other existence. He exists independent of everything else. Those three things are the meaning of the name Ehaya. The Rabbeinu Bachya says there's a hint in the fact that it says three times Ehaya in the Torah. Now, God says, Ehaya Asher Ehaya, go tell the Jewish people, Ehaya Shlachani Aleichem. So three times in that same sentence it mentions the name Ehaya, and the three times hint to the fact that it also means Hoya Hove Yehiya, that God was, is, and always will be. Others say, and maybe the Rabbeinu Bachya says this too, that there's even more of a hint from the word Ehaya itself. The Aleph is the first, the beginning of the tens. In a decimal system, one is the beginning of tens. That's the past. That's the first, the past. The Hay is the middle of the tens. That's the present. And the Yud is the end of the tens. That's the future. So in Ehaya, the Aleph represents the past, the Hay represents the present, and the Yud represents the future. The Chizkuni says that God calls himself Ehaya. That's the first person. Ehaya meaning I exist. I am existence. How do we refer to God, even though we don't say it, but the way we write it, is Yud Ke Vav Ke. That's the third person. That's how we refer to God's existence. He exists at all times, independent, and so on. So when God speaks about his own existence, he says Ehaya. When we refer to God's existence, then we write it Yud Ke Vav Ke. And in the Beis HaMikdash, they said it, that's the third person. This answers a question, the way the Ibn Shechachma explains, why can we say the name Ehaya, yet we can't say the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, when really they're the same thing? They both are names that represent God's intrinsic existence. So why can we say the word Ehaya, but we can't say the word Yud Kei Vav Kei? Says the Ibn Shechachma, because like the Chizkuni says, Ehaya is God's understanding of his existence. I can say that God understands his existence. But for me to say I understand God's existence, that's impossible. So I can't say Yud Kei Vav Kei, because that would imply that I understand God's existence. But I can say Ehaya, because all I'm saying is that God understands his existence. I don't have to understand it, God understands. Okay. Now there's another other meanings of Ehaya, and really the truth is that the name Ehaya and the name Yud Kei Vav Kei are really the same thing then, because really the name should be Yihye. Ehaya is in the first person, I will be, meaning I am always existent, dependent on nothing at all times. Yihye is God is always existent, dependent on nothing, only from our standpoint or from God's standpoint. The Aleph is first person, the Yud is third person. But it should be therefore Yihye. But the Yud is changed to a Vav. We find many times that Yud and Vav interchange. And here there's a reason why the Vav is put there, to hint to the present also. The Haya Hove, the Yihye, is included now in the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Yud is the future, the He is the past, and the Vav is the present. Another meaning of Yud Kei Vav Kei is that God brought everything into existence. Mahaveh HaKol. God brings everything into existence. Now the idea that this is God's name. All the other names are more or less attributes, but this is his essence name, his existence. It's still not a name that describes God himself. It describes God as the creator, as his relationship to creation, and even that's beyond our comprehension. But God himself, separated from creation, we have no name for him. We have no way of referring to him. What we do is refer to him as Ein Sof, as infinity. That's not a name, right? That's not even a designation, it's just a cop-out.
It means we have no way of describing him. So our only description of God, even the one that we can't say, is only from creation and on. God brought everything into being. He was, is, and always will be. He preceded that bringing things into being, and he will be after he brought everything into being, present and future, and he is not dependent on the things he brought into being. That's the name that we can read, but not say. Okay, write and not say. The Maral says a little bit different idea, the difference between Eheyeh and Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Eheyeh, he says, means that God exists and he is with all existence. He exists and he exists together with the things that he created. He's there with them and he can be together with them. They can be together with him. And that represents the fact that he was going to redeem the Jewish people and be with them. But it's not on an ongoing basis. For people to have that close connection to God, sometimes they have it, sometimes they lose it. So therefore it's Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh. I will be with them in this Tzara as I will be with them in future. They're going to lose it and get it back, and lose it and get it back. So I am with them. I am that existence that has a connection to the things that I brought to existence based on them. Sometimes they have that connection with me, sometimes not. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, however, is that God exists, that's in the third person, hidden, that God exists separate from all of his creations. He's totally separate from his creations. That hints to the future Geula, when the Jewish people will be separate completely from all the rest of the world. That's redemption. So the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is the name that God is redeeming the Jewish people, which signifies that this redemption is a hint to the final redemption, when the Jewish people will be totally separated from the rest of the world. But on a short term, he's Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh, I will be with them now, but I'll be with them again, because they're going to lose it in between. There's going to be a series of redemptions and exiles and redemptions. They won't be the final complete redemption until the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei takes over, and then it'll be final, totally separate from the rest of the world. That's what the Maral says. The Svarno adds another dimension. He says that Yud-Kei Vav-Kei means that God has to exist. He is the essence of existence, and mainly he loves existence. He loves things that represent existence and not the absence of existence. What represents existence? Life. God loves life. He is a living God. That's why death and everything that represents death always has a negative connotation to it. Because in our perspective, death is the absence of life. And God is the essence of life and existence. Also, what else represents existence? Tzedek, righteousness. What's the word I'm looking for? What's tzedek? Justice, right. Justice, thank you. Justice. Anything that is unjust, that is false, doesn't really exist. Lies, falseness, doesn't exist. It's just something that's apparent. It's an illusion. So God loves those things that exist, that what's real, that which is proper, just, and right. The Mincha Balula says that Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh, each Eheyeh equals 21 in Gematria. 21 times 2 is 42. There are 42 letters in God's name that is one of the Iker names of God. So the Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh represents these 42 letters. He says, the Paneach Raza says that when Moshe said to God, they'll say to me, what's your name? What should I say? In those words is hinted God's name, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Look at the last letters of those words. The Yomru Li. What's the last letter in Li? Yud. Ma Shemo. What's the last letter in Ma? Hey. Shemo Vav. Ma, again a hey. So here is hinted God's name. Also, there's something else special about the word Eheyeh. Eheyeh equals 21. What is the numerical value of the first letter of all the Sfarim of the Torah, the five books? Bereshit is Beis, 2. Ve'elashmos is Vav, is 8. Vayikra is another 6, is 14. Okay? Vayidaber Hashem is another 6. Vayidaber Sinai is Vayidaber Hashem. Is 6 is 20. And Eila Hadvarim Asher Diber is Aleph is 21. So the numerical value of the first letter of the 5 books is 21, is Ehye. Also, the numerical value of the Avos names. Avraham is 1. Yitzchak, 10. Yaakov, another 10. 21 is also same thing as Ehye. And the three names of God that start the 13 attributes of mercy, Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, V'Chanun. Those three names, Hashem is Yud, Hashem, another Yud, 20, Kel is Aleph, is 21. So that's also all included in this idea of Ehye Asher Ehye. The Yehuda Chosid says, in this world, the Goyim serve idolatry, and we have to affirm that God is the master of all. So we say God's name, Adon HaKol. But in the future, even the Goyim will accept God, and then we'll be able to say that God was, is, and always will be. Then we'll be able to affirm that God is the essence of everything. Another idea is, an idea that I was thinking of, that the fact that God brings everything into existence and He is the source of all existence means that there really is no good and bad in this world because everything emanates from God. The bad is only an illusion because everything that exists comes from God. God gave the ability for us to see bad because we have to have free choice. But ultimately, since everything emanates from God, everything ultimately is for the good. And therefore the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, which represents the fact that God brought everything into existence, nothing exists that didn't come from Him, right, also is a name that God is beyond time. It's only within time that we see evil, because we're limited. But if we could see the whole picture, the Ha-Yahovah-Yihyeh, we could see all of time together, we would see that everything really works out for the good. Therefore the Maharal says that the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is Shem Shel Rachamim. It's a name of mercy. Because when you see the entire picture, you don't see fragments, everything is for the good. It's only because we don't see the whole picture that we see bad. Therefore, how do we see it? How do we verbalize it? Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. What does that represent? Aleph represents the beginning of time. When God was one and He created the world, the beginning of time. Aleph. Yud represents when all the many things that God created will unite. That's represented by the number 10. 10 is a number that takes many things and unites them into one unit of tens. Because after 10, you don't break up the unit. You have achadesar, 1 plus 10, 2 plus 10. The 10 remains a unit. That's why a minion is 10. 10 is the number that unites individuals into a plural unit, into a cumulative unit. Even in Arabic numerals, 10 is 1 10 and 0 1s. It's a unit of tens. So the number 10 represents when all the many things that God created will be united under Him into one unit of many things, but that's the second one. The first one is God, the second one is all these many things uniting under God. That's 10. So the world goes from Aleph to Yud. What's sandwiched in between the Aleph and the Yud in Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud? Two letters. What letters are they? Dalet, Nun, Din. That's where we see evil. That's where we see judgment. That's where we see harshness. The harshness is only sandwiched in time. Beyond time, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, everything is mercy. And in the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, we have the Yud and He part represent Yihyeh and Hoya, the future and the past, and the Vav-Kei represent the present. And that's why the Yud-Kei part is hidden. The past and the future are hidden. The present is open. That's why the name of God is hinted to in the sentence Yismachu HaShamayim V'Sogel HaAretz. The first letters Yismachu HaShamayim is Yud and Hey, and V'Sogel HaAretz is Vav and Hey. The Yismachu HaShamayim, the heavens, is hidden. That's the future and the past. But the earth is what we see on the earth. That's open. That's the vav and the hay. That's why, as long as Amalek is in the world, the vav and the hay are missing from God's name. Ka, the yod al kesh ka. Only the yod and the hay are there, not the vav and the hay, because we can see God hidden, but we can't see Him open. God's openness is hidden because of. That's why ish the isha shchina surya beinehem. The ish has the yud of God's name. The isha has the hay. So we have the yud is the future. The man is supposed to provide the future of the family. He is supposed to provide the spiritual learning Torah, and he's supposed to provide the physical means to provide for the family. That's the future. On the other hand, the wife is supposed to create the past, meaning to anchor it to tradition. She creates a home which is anchored in tradition. She has the hay, the past. So the man creates the future, the woman anchors it to the past. Where's the present? It says, Ish v'isha shchina shruya b'neihem. Not Ish isha. The vav that brings them together is the present. That's where the present is created.
There are 10 utterances.
Oh, yeah.
Hashem made 10 utterances that
made
the world.
Right. Okay, okay. It's, that's also because that also was one unit. All the world is united under God in those 10 utterances.